He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, October 24th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a very good start to the day so far, and I would have to say that earnings are finally back in focus, along with a moderating bond market, at least for now. We have the Dow up 214 points to 33,150. The NASDAQ is up 98 to 13,119. We have the S&P 500 up 27 points to 4244. Small caps up 1%, and as I went through some charts here right after the market opened, I noticed some pretty good action in the small cap stocks today, which are usually very interest rate sensitive. That means they like what they see in the bond market today. Crude oil is down 66 cents to 84.83. Gold's down 14 cents. Silver is down 13 cents. And the big one, the one that is really directing the market right now, the captain of the ship is the 10-year bond, 4.88 today. Now, it touched 5 yesterday, so we're down 12 basis points, but we're up 4 basis points today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide, fee-based only, money management firm where we are active, not passive.
The market's definitely been active, right?
Yeah, there's nothing passive about the market at all. I mean, the bond market's not passive. The stock market's not passive. Bitcoin's not passive. There's your story of the day right now. I was looking at Bitcoin this morning.
Yeah, right?
34,500.
Yeah. Snuck up back up to the mid-30s. It's kind of sleeping there at around 28 for a while, and just all of a sudden in the last couple of days, just all about 34, 35.
Yeah,
right,
it's
now
all about the SEC allowing or being overruled by the courts that they need to allow a Bitcoin ETF. Well, we had the bond market stabilize yesterday. It shot above 5% in the morning. It's cooled off now. We're at 4.88. The NASDAQ had a good day yesterday. The Dow was down. And of course, the Bitcoin soars to 34,500. You know, and it's kind of funny. It's almost like it's become the safe haven. The flight of safety is into Bitcoin because it's disconnected from the dollar, I suppose, and from precious metals. And, you know, it really started to heat up when the Middle East started to heat up, too. So there seems to be a little bit of correlation there.
Well, historically, the chart goes on and on, right? You'll see how it reacts in different particular time periods. And I think, you know, like you said, you got a combination of potentially a fight to safety, and then also the fact in terms of the ruling of there being, you know, some ETF in Bitcoin. My only trick is if you can't, you know, if you wanted to buy Bitcoin, I feel like you'd figure out a way to buy Bitcoin by now. But I guess,
GBTC,
you know, I guess an ETF will make. Right.
GBTC is the way, you know, that you can buy it. It's not exactly an ETF, but it behaves just like one, and it does track. GBTC is one of the asset classes that I track in my app, and in fact, GBTC is the only B-plus or better ranked asset class. You could also call it a sector, I suppose, but it's mostly an asset class. It's ranked number one in the app. You know, that's something that a lot of folks overlook in the power of the app, which this week, I promise, I guarantee you that the switch gets flipped. I did the last bit of a proofreading yesterday. I'm going to do one more this morning, then hopefully by tomorrow we'll have at least the web version of the app, brand new with a new look, more user-friendly. But you can sort those asset classes. That's very important. I think just getting your, I do believe in asset allocation, yes, but not based on age, based on the world and what's happening. Getting that right to begin with is a big thing. Cash is an asset class, let's not forget. There's times when cash is the number one asset class to be invested in. But stocks for me remain favorable. I have a new article out on Seeking Alpha that went live sometime late yesterday afternoon. And it's my current outlook through the fog of war, through the noise of rising interest rates. I kind of cut through all of that and give you my current outlook for the S&P 500 for the next 12 to 18 months. I stick my neck on the line once again. I'm in the top 2% of all writers on Seeking Alpha. And amongst all analysts out there, you know that they track some 30,000. I'm in the top 3%. So you might want to have a look at what I had to say today. Go to Seeking Alpha, enter Bill Gunderson into your authors. You can follow me there, and you can read my latest article that was published yesterday. It adds a whole lot more color to the article I wrote in the newsletter on Friday. Okay, earnings today. We'll get to the ones that have reported so far, but we're going to get Alphabet tonight, big tech. And as I look at the chart so far this morning, I'm not seeing any action in big tech. Big tech basically is not participating.
Yeah. And we get Microsoft after the bell today too. Correct?
Yes, and then Microsoft. So
too
you've
massive.
Got two massive AI players, you know, very important companies. Definitely those, what do they call them this year? The seven, the magnificent seven.
Magnificent seven. Yeah, even though I like yours when you where you added, you know, get it to 10 when you throw in some, you know, Lilly, Novo Nordisk. So.
Yeah, something non-tech, right? Okay, and then tomorrow we're going to get Facebook, Meta. We're going to get Boeing. And then Thursday, and I see it. I do see one, Amazon's behaving pretty well today. You know, Amazon's always kind of, you know, it's a dart throw at whether or not they'll beat or whether or not they'll miss. They have a lot of expenses in their business. They don't have a big fat profit margin. They have a pretty thin profit margin. But a very important report on Thursday coming from Amazon. Okay.
Oh, how about the Coca-Cola one? I know we'll get to later on. That's
yes.
A very interesting one in terms of passing on higher costs.
So yes, people.
It's a good example of that.
Can't go without their Diet Coke. And I think Monster Energy is a Coca-Cola brand also.
It is.
Okay, I like to see Redfin report. I mean, they're boots on the ground. We like to watch the real estate market. All of us, most of us, have some kind of exposure to real estate. New U.S. home listings. Okay, these are listings. Tick up in September. But here's the one that makes sense. Deal cancellations surge. Well, a lot of people buy a home on a contingency that they get loan approval. And that's got to be a big problem right now for folks with interest rates above 8%. Maybe they've dropped down below a little bit. That just knocks a lot of people out of the market because they can't qualify for the loan. And it's got to really be hurting the mortgage business. It's got to be frustrating to get a buyer. And they go to a mortgage agent, and the mortgage agent does everything they can do to get that buyer qualified to get the loan. And, you know, those monthly payments are a big, big factor.
when those rate changes, if you're not locked in, I mean, those rates are can move significantly in a short period of time, particularly
yes.
given some of the moves we've seen in the 10-year in the last month or so.
Yes, it's just very, very difficult environment right now. I'm seeing for sale signs in my neighborhood, which is a pretty hot neighborhood. They've been up for quite some time. You know, things stop moving. It used to be like within a week they were gone. No, not anymore. That came to a halt a few months ago, 3-4 months ago. And now it's a much more difficult market. Okay, when we come back, we've got news on Novo Nordisk, AstraZeneca, Meta, Amazon. It goes on and on and on. We have no shortage of subjects to talk about today. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, a Dow up 237, NASDAQ up 87. I know, you know, when things get tough in the market, you get a couple of weeks that are really dreary, and you wonder or not whether it's ever going to turn around. Well, you know what? That's when I look to earnings, and that's what gets me through those times. Now, there will be a time when the earnings expectations won't support a higher market, but we're nowhere close to that right now. It can change pretty quickly, but we've had a favorable earnings environment since 2009, and it continues to be favorable. And I write my thesis in my article on Seeking Alpha today, where you can get my take. Maybe it will calm your nerves a little bit. Maybe you'll throw your hands up in disgust and say, I totally disagree with that, knucklehead. But you can take a look at the thesis I've made on the market at the current time, and that should help you with your 401k, with your IRAs, your SEPs, whatever the case may be. All right, let's take a look here at other news today. FDA, I find this to be interesting. AstraZeneca now has a flu vaccine that you can administer, self-administer. You just spray it, I guess.
Flu vaccine?
In your nose, a flu vaccine.
Okay.
And I just wonder if Ozempic, which is my next story, the weight loss drugs, those are injections right now. And obviously they've got to get to pills or an easier way. But I've heard that the injections are not that bad. Okay, we've got Belgium is looking for a temporary ban on the use of Novo Nordisk Ozempic. Why? Well, Ozempic is still in short supply, obviously someone with diabetes needs it more than somebody that wants to lose a few pounds, right? And I will say this, I mean, if you want to get a prescription to, you have to be overweight, you know. You can't be like just wanting to lose 5 pounds or something. It's not really a drug for that. But anyways, they are kind of rationing Ozempic, which is Novo Nordisk drug. And we have heard some reports of people not being able to tolerate it as they get sick, stomach sick. From it, but I've heard, like 10 success stories.
Positives, right.
To every story like that. So,
well, and I saw some projections, and I've seen anywhere between $70 billion and $200 billion, or even more, in terms of what those type of drugs, in terms of what that market.
Yeah, they upped it to $100 billion yesterday.
Right.
Wall Street upped it to $100 billion. Now, that's just two companies involved right now.
Right.
There may be some others that get in on it.
It's a big pie, put it that way.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now, buy ratings out. Meta, Amazon, both get buy ratings. I would totally agree with that. That comes from Seaport Research Partners. And I know a lot of people would ask, you know, Bill, the NASDAQ's up 25% year to date. Yes, it's up 25%. The Dow is flat. The Dow might be up 1%, something like that. So that just tells you, you know, with the active management and being tactical, I told everybody that I met with there in Bloomfield Hills, I says, it's been a one-trick pony. The only thing happening in the market, it's not the bond market. Well, I'll put in Bitcoin, okay, Bitcoin. And the large cap growth stocks. And it's been very narrow, okay? That's not always the case, but it's been very narrow this year. There's two of them right there for you, Meta and Amazon. And, of course, you've got two of them reporting tonight in Microsoft and Alphabet.
Google, right.
And then you can go outside of that a little bit, Uber, Airbnb, and others. But for the most part, that's where the action has been.
Yeah. And if you haven't had enough, by the end of the week, right, we'll get the PCE inflation index number that the Fed uses. So that's to finish it off on Fridays. So
and I would also emphasize that, you know, not every year is the same. It's not just 17 stocks every year that lead the market. It changes. And that's why I invented a dynamic beststocksnowapp.com to go out. It's unbiased. It's not political. It doesn't read the newspapers. It's not afraid. It's not greedy. It takes emotion out of it and just shows me where the leadership at any given point in time is in the market. And a lot of times, those trends remain in place for a long time. I could not manage money without the app that I invented many years ago for my own use. And then I decided to make it to public. So when that thing comes out tomorrow, I think, beststocksnowapp.com, man, I'm telling you what, I took something that's very potent and made it even cleaner and more concise for the average investor. You can subscribe to the app for $9.99 a month. That's what I charge to keep you... You can read Barron's, you can read the Wall Street Journal, you can read all of these financial publications out there. You'll get more from the Best Stocks Now app than any of those. Well, how do I know that? Because I've read all those publications all my life. I get nothing from them. GM reports earnings. I'm kind of surprised. That was a pretty good report. You know, a lot of folks there in Bloomfield, Hills connected to GM in one way or the big three. GM is down 4 cents right now, however, because the strike is ongoing.
Primarily guidance. Yeah, they did well for the quarter. Of course, you know, the go-forward guidance in terms of, the cost of the strike or really what what the headwind was for that particular stock today. But overall, wasn't a surprising report on the good side, at least for the quarter.
Yeah, they achieved $2 billion fixed cost reduction. Now, I hope they don't lose that when the new deal is out there with the UAW. But I would also say this, okay? General Motors said it will moderate electric vehicle production, the pace thereof. And you know what? There's several reasons for that. Number one, if you talk to most people in Michigan, in the in the auto headquarters of the world, they don't want an electric car. I can tell you that. The majority of the folks don't want one. Number two, the infrastructure is woefully inadequate. Number three, they're expensive. And number four, they're heavy as hell. They are super heavy. So anyways, they plan on slowing down, moderate that electric vehicle production pace, and I know Ford is doing the same thing. All right. When we come back, we got a lot more earnings to talk about.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, once again on Friday, we had a rough week, rough couple of weeks. Saturday morning, time to write the newsletter, the article that is, and with missile sirens going off constantly, rockets flying into Israel, troops massed on the border there, interest rates soaring. You know what? I put my neck on the line again, and I said it's going to come back to earnings at some point in time. War is noisy. Interest rates are scary, but eventually it comes back to earnings. Well, you know, the Dow is up 300.
Fog of war analogy, right?
Exactly. The NASDAQ's up 125 right now. I had a guy, let's see, it was a comment on one of my articles, or he tweeted to me. I am on Twitter, at Bill Gunderson. He says, I got out. I don't know when to get back in. That's your problem. Read my articles, whatever. And I do have a fresh article out today. Of course, they'd rather read about REITs and 12% dividend yields. I saw another one there. That was the leading article, was a 12% dividend yield. On a mortgage REIT,
it was 10% last week, but then the value of the REIT went down, so now it's 12%.
Yes, and that stuff is toxic. What can I say? All right, so you go to the SeekingAlpha.com and read my article today out there.
Check your inbox. We're about to, should be out here soon via email as well.
Yes, I'm very proud of the track record I've amassed there over a long period of time, over the last 10 to 12 years or whatever I've been there on Seeking Alpha. Okay, now, here's there are more earnings rolling in. 3M is a member of the Dow. We don't own 3M. It's not exactly an innovative company, you know. Post-it notes aren't exactly.
I do have some post-its laying around.
Still use my post-it notes, you know. But, you know, it's not the most innovative company around anymore. But it is up 5% today. Okay, that's a Dow stock. Now, every time one of these companies in the Dow, it's also a member of the S&P 500, report earnings, that goes into the aggregate. And the guidance that they give going forward goes into the estimates for next year. And as of now, the market's kind of already priced in next year's earnings estimates, and it's looking ahead to 2025. And that's what I wrote about in my Seeking Alpha article. But anyways, 3M's having a good day. And why higher earnings outlook? And I've said that many times. Earnings are in the past. Okay, the market trades on outlook. And when the outlook changes one way or another, the stock or the market reacts immediately. Okay, Verizon beats by 4 cents. Very boring stock. Low single-digit growth. But get this, it's up 7.8% today. It also pays a dividend yield of 7.9%, but they reported their earnings beat by 4 cents. Their revenue was in line. They added 434,000 broadband customers. They still go head-to-head with all the other broadband providers, AT&T being one of the big ones. But, hey, this is a Dow stock. It's an S&P 500 stock, and it's up 7.4% today. Why? Earnings, earnings, earnings. Okay, Coca-Cola, member of the Dow. One of the big ones headquartered in Atlanta. Coca-Cola is up 3% today. We haven't hit a Dow stock or S&P 500 stock yet that isn't up, right?
Yeah, it was interesting. So they saw something where I believe their price increase, you know, was 9%. I think analysts thought their price increase was going to be around 6 to 6.5%. So essentially, you know, those dollars, those cents went to the bottom line, and they increased volume. So not only are we as consumers are still, you know, paying higher prices, but also consuming more. So
And I can't say that.
It was an interesting report. This is when you kind of dive into the different segments.
If I pull into a Circle K and run in to grab, I don't, the price really, you know, hey, if I'm thirsty, need a little jolt of caffeine to get me through the trip, you know, give me a little energy. The price, now where I feel it, I'll buy a 12-pack at Walmart.
Right.
I can remember when those 12-packs were $2, right? Now they're like $5, $6.
You got to buy three of them, right, to even get
three for the price, or 12 for the price of 9. You have to do some crazy math in your head.
You need a cart.
It's nuts. Okay, Pulte Homes. Now, this has been pretty surprising how resilient Pulte Homes is. I got to believe that there's some fancy ways that they're doing mortgages, the builders, the loans. Pulte is up 1.5% today as they come in. They reported earnings of $2.90. They beat by 10 cents. And their revenue of $4 billion misses by $60 million, but the stock's having a good day. In fact, they reported record earnings, and they're going to have record earnings this year. You would think at some point in time those interest rates up around 8% would really start to dig into the new home builders. But for now, I mean, the business continues to be robust. Kimberly Clark, a member of the Dow, I believe, is down 2%. There, we finally found one. Even though they beat on the bottom line, they raised 2023 guidance. It's still down almost 2%. I'm not quite sure why. It's a non-grower. I mean, it is a non-grower. It is flat. Of course, they make disposable diapers, baby wipes, facial bathroom tissue, paper towels, etc. It is the consumer staple stock of consumer staples, right? It and Procter & Gamble.
Yeah, they can only be more staples if they sold staples. Right?
And Kimberly Clark out of Dallas, Texas, where the Texas Rangers will be going to the World Series.
That's right. Yeah.
Unbelievable that Bruce Bochy, who the San Diego Padres gave up on in about 2006, I want to say, he took us to the playoffs year after year, but we couldn't get to the next step. So he goes to San Francisco.
Won it a couple of times.
Three. I think three, maybe. Yeah. Okay, then he retires, gets back into the business. I'm sure he takes a lot more home as a manager in Texas than he did in California, where he had to pay a 13% state tax, okay? So he takes the job in Texas. I got to believe the tax situation had something to do with him taking that one.
It's going to be a little better,
And in his first year back, he takes Texas, who has not been a very good franchise recently, to the World Series. You know what? That just says something about the veracity of good management. And I'm telling you, it's no different a baseball team, a company, a corporation that has sharp management, or portfolio managers, stock managers, you know, there's wide ranges of people out there. And Bruce Bochy, man, that's unbelievable. We're kind of Bruce Bochy fans. And I got a text from my wife this morning. She's traveling a little bit. She said, let's go to Texas and watch that game. Go to the World Series game. We don't even know who they're playing yet. Right. Hopefully, I'm hoping for Arizona myself.
We'll know after tonight, right?
So we got game but seven, you know what? Around eight. Baseball. I mean, it's a great game. It's America's pastime. I like football, but baseball, when you've got the bases loaded and that relief pitcher's in there and the crowd is going nuts and it's game seven, there's nothing like it in my book. Okay, Halliburton edges lower. I'm kind of surprised there that Halliburton had, I mean, it's not a bad report, but it's down 2.8%. But Halliburton's business is pretty robust. Here's their problem. Okay, everybody thinks that North America is hitting record oil production. Halliburton edges lower as Q3 North America revenues slip. Why? Because it's difficult to drill in North America, otherwise known as the U.S. We'll be right back. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'll be getting on the phone a little bit today, Barry, and thanking some of those folks from Bloomfield Hills meeting with us. And we had a good time there. And hopefully we can help them out. And I really enjoyed meeting a lot of folks and having a really good time just getting to know people.
Yeah, good to get the pulse up there. We've been on the station up there for a while and finally got up there. Now that shook out some of our back schedule from being slowed from COVID with getting up to Minneapolis and finally getting up to Detroit.
Yes, so, Sarasota will be our next trip. I gotta get that on the calendar. But anyways, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, it doesn't have to be in person. We do most everything virtually these days. Just give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, and we'll have a discussion with you and see if there's anything we can do to help out. Okay, as we look at the market today, I want somebody to make the argument that the economy is going to hell here in America. Look at the different stocks from different industries and how well their earnings are today. You've got an insurance stock, the leading stock in the S&P 500 today, Berkeley up 8.2. Okay, well, let's focus on the S&P 500 here because it's a broad look at our economy. Verizon, which represents telecommunications, telephones, the internet, etc., up 8% today. Sealed Air, which represents probably the building industry, its basic materials, it's up 7.3%. The venerable old General Electric is up 7.1% today. Raytheon, which represents the aerospace defense industry, up 6.5% today. Invesco, which represents the financial services industry, up 5.8% today. Seagate, which represents technology, up 5.3%. Gap Stores, which represents consumer discretionary, up 5.2%. It's pretty hard to make an argument and be super negative. And I'm going to give credit to the folks that run these companies, right? For GM to be profitable through what they've been through here recently, and these other companies to remain their, to retain their profitability, like Coca-Cola, through inflation. It just shows you that there's a lot of good management out there, and they have to adjust quickly when things change. Do you think they're passive? Do you think Coca-Cola is passive and doesn't adjust things? GM just got rid of $2 billion in fixed costs, okay? They have to be active, or they won't remain in business. You know, it's just it's such a stark difference between the government.
And those are tight. And those are tight margin businesses. If you're not on top of them, you won't be in business.
How competitive is the car business? How competitive is the soft drink aisle? And on and on and on. Okay, now I can do some more. 3M up 5%, which is a big diversified company. You've got an energy provider, NextEra, which had a big, downgrade, or they guided lower several months ago, but it's up 5.1%. You've got a steel stock, Nucor, up 5.1% today. The only ones that I can find that are down of any note in the S&P, the hospital stock, HCA, that's a tough business. That is a really tough business. HCA is down 4.9% today after reporting earnings. Xerox, which has not come up with much in the way of new, kind of like Eastman Kodak, right? I mean, Xerox at one time was way ahead of the competition. That was probably 25 years ago. Xerox is down 4.5% today after their earnings report. As I look at the NASDAQ, big tech has taken the day off. Why? Because in the next 3 days, many of the big ones are going to report.
Right. NVIDIA has happened, was at least initially when we started the show, 70 a day in terms of they've got, apparently they're going to be doing some competition with Intel on the and the personal computing space.
Yeah, and I read that AMD is going to get some Intel business. Intel's, you know, been using, or no, not Intel. They've been using, Microsoft has been using Intel chips, but they're going to start using some AMD and NVIDIA chips also.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see. You know, it's non-tech stocks, basically, that are leading the NASDAQ. Fiserv up 4.5%. Dish up 4.4, probably linked to Verizon's earnings. Mercado Libre up 3.5. That's the Amazon of South America. The Amazon of North America is doing well today. Amazon and Tesla's having a good day after a couple. They had a rough week between Cybertruck, big increase in their capital spending, but it's up 2.8% here today. So anyways, you know, by the end of this week, we're going to have about 40% of the S&P 500 companies in the books. As of last Friday, we had 16%. And as of last Friday, nothing has changed to the estimates next year, 2024, or the year after that, 2025. And most stocks that I look at these days now have 2025 numbers out there, you know, that are available to the public. Not all of them, but we're getting more and more and more. So we're starting to, I know, it's why are you looking at earnings estimates in 2025? Because the market is.
Yeah, you got a sample size. The sample size. So.
Yes, the market, that's what the market's looking at. You can look at what the analysts at the big Wall Street firms are looking at, which is the next 2 months, 3 months, yesterday, tomorrow. The market, I mean, the professionals in the market that watch the market for a long time know that the market's looking ahead to 2025 earnings, and it's looking at today's interest rate environment. Those two things drive the bus. All right, so if you check the newsletter out, our portfolios, how they're doing this year, I'm pretty proud of the performance of those portfolios. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment and talk to us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.